guard feller?
Huh? Where am I?
I think we're passing through Jornada del Muerte. That's if my reading of this map is right. To be honest, I think I took a wrong turning somewhere. I think we're on Highway 97. I'm hoping we should pass through a town called Santa Pilar within the hour. If we don't, then God knows where we are. I've been down in Las Cruces, down Mexico way, and I'm trying to get home to Santa Fe, but at the moment, I seem to be taking a scenic tour of the driest and emptiest parts of New Mexico.
Where are we? How long have I been asleep?
Oh, you pretty much conked out just as soon as you got in the car. Looks like you're pretty beat, huh? Must say, I'm mighty curious about how you came to be standing by the road in a spot like that. Why, there can't be a single house, let alone a town, within 20 miles of that spot.
How long have I been asleep?
About 15 minutes. Why?
It's hard to explain. Have you seen anything unusual? People, helicopters, other vehicles?
Well, this time of the night, you can't really see much in the desert, but no, I guess no. The road's been pretty empty, no one around.
Can't you drive it a little faster? Look, pal, I'm gonna need your help. I need to get to a phone as soon as possible. After that, I need to get out of state right away. You've got to help me. This is the biggest thing since Roswell.
Hey, feller, just slow down now.
Can you help me or not? Jesus, I can't believe this is happening. Fuck!
Listen now, feller, I ain't obliged to help you out one bit. Now, I just picked you up off of the side of a highway in the back of beyond, no man's land, New Mexico. And all of a sudden, you're telling me that I have absolutely, positively got to help you. Seems to me you're obliged to let me know a little bit about what all this is about.
Look, pal, I know this is gonna sound strange, but you're just gonna have to take my word for it that this thing is just too big for you not to help me. This thing is going global. Jesus.
Are you in trouble with the law, pal? Because if you are, I ain't having anything to do with this, okay? I just don't need any more of that shit. No way.
You don't understand.
Don't understand? Now listen here, pal. This here's my ride, and if you want out of this shitty desert, you can damn well play it by my rules in my car. Otherwise, you can get out. You hear?
Okay. Point taken.
Now what is all this shit about helicopters and getting out of state? Are you on the run?
You're not gonna believe any of this.
Are you on the run?
I don't believe any of this shit.
Hello? I ask you a question.
Okay, all right. Look, I have been through some shit out here. And I have seen some shit that the public needs to know about, okay? I'm a journalist. My name's Mike Muldoon. I work for the Newark Star Eagle. And I've hit on the story of the century. Jesus. I grew up in Tularosa. I haven't been back for years, but I came down to visit my aunt and uncle. They live... Jesus. They lived just outside San Lazarus. It's a little desert town in the middle of nowhere. San Isidro's the closest place. Mom and pop store, saloon, church, couple hundred cattle. They call this area Jornada del Muerte.
Jornada del Muerte? Spanish. Dead man's journey, huh? I can see why.
Jornada del Muerte.
What in hell's name have you seen out here, boy?
I don't know! Jesus!
All right, man. So you visited your aunt and uncle in this nowheresville. So what happened?
I don't know where to start. There was a military base on the Pueblo above San Lazarus. Top secret research. No one in town really knew much about it. I went out there to snoop around, take a few pictures the day after I got there. Didn't really see much. Just keep off signs and some fresh looking barbed wire. Thought I'd go back next day. Never got to, though. Those bastards never gave me a chance. They never gave anyone a chance. Oh my God, what the hell is happening?
Don't jump ahead. What happened next?
That night, my uncle's neighbor, Cardi, came racing out of the town in his truck and started packing his bags to leave. Told my uncle if he had any sense, he'd do the same, and it wasn't safe to go into the town. Something had gone wrong at the base, and there were people in the town murdering and killing, a real bloodbath. Some kind of psychopaths they'd had locked up in the base had got out and got down to the main street and killed Pa Burnett and Constanza and whoever they could get their hands on. Well, once my uncle started to believe this, he got all riled up and said he wouldn't stand for it. Tried to get Cardi to go back into town with him to sort this out. But Cardi wouldn't go. He said Uncle Jim could shoot him before he'd go. Cardi was a wreck, gibbering like a madman. We tried to telephone the sheriff's office, but they kept us on hold. Cardi drove off like a maniac. We wouldn't stay another minute. We kept trying to get through, but all we got was an engage signal. Finally, Uncle Jim got so impatient, he said he was going into town. Aunt Wilma begged him not to, but he said he wasn't standing still while his neighbors were in need. Told Aunt Wilma to keep phoning, got his shotguns in the truck, and we took off into San Lazarus.
Jesus.
I was terrified. I fancy meeting face to face with no escaped maniacs from no top secret army base. What we found was worse, though.
Worse?
It was night by the time we drove up to Main Street, by the saloon and the gas station. No one around that we could see. The fire further down along the street turned out to be a burning car by the front of John Grossman's. We stayed in the car, drove along slowly, looking out for trouble, with a gun at the ready. Finally saw something by the gas station. Bodies. There was three of them, two men and a woman, on the forecourt. The first thing that confused us was, they looked like they'd been savaged. Clothes torn, blood everywhere. Bite marks, too. Big, ugly wounds. Savage ones. Dogs, we said. Savaged by dogs. No such luck.
You're serious, ain't you? This really happened.
Once we pulled ourselves together, we decided to check out the station store. Steeled ourselves and started to make our way inside. Then it happened. Oh, man. I'm dreaming. Those things were...
Easy.
We heard a noise. Ground. The woman on the forecourt was moving. She was alive. She was making a moaning sound, trying to get up, but she seemed too weak. We rushed over. Uncle Jim was trying to help her, asking her what she'd seen, what had done this, where it hurt. She didn't seem to be able to speak. He was just telling me to try and find a phone when she went for him, bit into his arm. If it hadn't been for Uncle Jim's coat, she would have taken a chunk out, I'm sure of it. It was like she was on drugs or something. Uncle Jim was screaming. I realized I couldn't reason with her, so I grabbed her and tried to pull her off, but she just wouldn't let him go. She was so strong, like she was a maniac, frothing at the mouth like she had rabies or something, and she just wouldn't let him go. That's when I saw one of the two guys was on his knees and coming at us. Well, I could see he had the same thing in mind as she did. When I saw him staring at Uncle Jim, I shot him. In the face. Then I killed her and her other pal, too. There was so much blood. I couldn't believe the colors. Do you hear me, man? I couldn't believe the colors that came out. I couldn't believe what I'd done.
It's okay, man. It's okay. Don't freak out on me now.
So I knew then. I knew we just had to get away. Uncle Jim was going into shock from the pain. I started for the car, but I could see more figures coming up out of the dark, moving like sleepwalkers, murmuring and moaning like they were talking in their sleep. But their eyes were wide open. Bloodshot, staring, soulless eyes. Nothing in them but the flickering of some primal fire that still burned deep, deep down in the back of their brains. The instinct to kill and devour. Mouths open, slavering. I went spare, loaded the shotgun and started to taking them out. Uncle Jim stopped me, made me look around. There was this old guy, white hair, army fatigues, waving to us from the storefront. I was on the point of putting a blast of buckshot through him, too, when Uncle Jim pushed the gun aside. Then I came to myself and realized that this guy wasn't like these others. He was a living man, trying to help us. That realization was like floating to the surface from the bottom of a deep well. I felt like I was going crazy. Well, the guy pulled us into the store, barricaded the front up. Those things were closer now, crossing the forecourt. Moving towards the front windows. We went up some stairs into the apartment above the store. Looked out. There must have been more than 50 of those things. Worse off it was, Uncle Jim recognized more than half of them as people he knew. Seemed like half the population of San Lazarus was out there on the forecourt, massing for something. Looked like they were coming for us.
What did you do?
Well, we wanted answers, you know. So we started asking the guy all kinds of questions. Jim was convinced it was to do with the base. Figured they'd been experimenting on people with drugs or brainwashing. He wasn't about to let the guy off without a few answers.
God damn.
Well, sure enough, the guy was a scientist at the base. Said his name was Sanderson. Said the base was a military research center.
They were researching into cryogenics, long-term storage and reanimation of human subjects, with a view to possible applications in space travel and the military. Several other groups, what he called unnamed special interest groups, had also expressed an interest. They put their first batch of subjects into storage at the beginning of the 70s. These subjects were convicted killers on death row, who'd secretly been offered the chance to sign themselves up as a way of dodging the chair. The time came for the projected reanimation. They were going to do it using some special combination of drugs and carefully controlled doses of radiation. They administered the treatment and set back to watch the revival. But nothing happened.
Nothing happened? Boy, if you're making this up, you can walk to Santa Fe.
Do I sound like I'm lying?
No, that's the crazy thing. Somehow, I believe you. What happened next?
Well, nothing had happened after 2 hours. So they sent some scientists in to make some routine checks. Reflexes, things like that. Sanderson was watching from the control room. That's when it happened.
What?
The subjects woke up and attacked the lab operators. Tore a couple of them limb from limb. Partially ate others. Some of the control room staff tried to intervene and were killed as well. Others tried to lock down the lab, but it was too late. Some of the subjects had got out into the complex. Blood everywhere. Sanderson freaked out and hid in an equipment locker. Stayed there about 5 hours.
Hold on now, pal. You're saying these subjects were in some kind of suspended animation, and when they revived, they went crazy and started eating people?
To all intents and purposes, they were actually dead. Their hearts hadn't beat, their blood hadn't flowed for 25 years. Partial brain death had occurred. But the treatment reanimated them, and somehow awakened a cannibalistic urge.
Zombies, huh?
Zombies. The craziest part was, once they bit people, those people would die and then revive themselves in a similar state. Sanderson found this out when he came out of his hiding place and was jumped by one of the dead lab operators. Gave him a pretty bad bite. From the fact that the zombification could be passed on, Sanderson hypothesized a viral mutation triggered by the chemicals used in the preservation process as the cause. You could tell the poor bastard knew he was gonna die of the bite he got. He was practically jumping out of his own skin with fear.
How many of these zombies are there?
About 200 now, I guess.
So if they found their way to any major site of civilization, they could infect Hilarious.
It's definitely possible. The military are trying to contain the situation now. They'll try and lock down all communications with the outside world, knock out the phone, set up cordons, spin some story about a radiation leak or a chemical spill. I think they may find it a harder task than they bargained for, though. What I have to do now is get this information to the outside world before they can cover it up. People responsible for this thing ain't gonna walk away as if none of this ever happened.
Hence the need to find a phone, huh?
Exactly.
How did you get out of there? What happened to...
It wasn't easy. Sanderson knew he was a goner. Figured he was gonna take a few of those monsters with him. He was gonna set off all the gasoline in the storage tanks under the forecourt. He gave us the keys to the Jeep he'd arrived in. Brave motherfucker. While he distracted him, we hightailed it out the back to the Jeep. Figured we had to get back to Aunt Wilmer and get the hell out of there. We almost didn't make it out of town. We had to drive through a bunch of those fucking things on our way out. Have you ever heard a human skull split?
Jesus.
Fireball the size of an apartment block as we drove away.
Holy shit.
The worst part came later. We got back up the canyon to the house. Jim was freaking out about his arm, about Wilma, about the whole fucking situation. Somehow I stayed calm enough to drive. I don't know how. I guess I just went into some kind of survival mode. When we got there, we couldn't see Wilma. So I said we should split up and look for her. That makes it my fault. It's my fault. Oh, God, it's my fault. We shouldn't have split up. Oh, God, why the hell did we split up?
Calm down, man. What happened?
I looked out back, and Jim went into the house. I was checking the garage when I heard Jim screaming.
God.
It was already too late by the time I got to the kitchen.
No,
Wilma had him up against the hob. She wasn't my aunt then. She was something else. Biting chunks out of his face like she was a wild animal. Blood everywhere. Jim screaming like a damn soul in hell. It was horrible. I'll never forget that. Never.
Okay, buddy, okay. Take it easy now. It's all right. Christ.
I couldn't take that sight. I just had to get the hell out of there. Drove out like crazy. Figured I'd get on the interstate and put as many miles between me and all that shit as I could. Problem was, the U.S. military didn't seem too happy with me leaving. A helicopter chased me 5 miles before I took a bend wrong and ended up in a gully with a busted radiator and this black eye. I somehow managed to get away from the Jeep and hide in the bottom of a ravine while the grunt searched for me. Then I must have fallen asleep, because when I woke up it was dawn and the chopper was gone. Well, the Jeep was totaled. So I carried on a foot as best I could, trying to head west to where I thought the interstate was. Worst 24 hours of my life. Man.
Does that mean the Army are looking for you now?
I'm pretty sure they will be. But listen, pal. I know this puts you at risk, and I'm sorry. But I really need you to help me get this information out, to stop the cover-up they're trying to enforce. I'm not letting Bilderberg and the rest of those bastards get away with something this big. No siree.
I'm no big fan of the government myself, pal, but this sounds like it could get me more attention than I usually like to have. Look, if all you say is true, you've had a rough time of it. It's gonna be dawn in about half an hour. We should reach Santa Fe by late afternoon. I'll take you that far, get you some food and a change of clothes, then you're on your own. How does that sound?
Thanks, pal. I really appreciate this.
Buy me a beer sometime. You all right for cash?
If I can get to an ATM, I'll be fine. I just hope they don't put a trace on my account. I don't think they know who I am, though.
You'll be fine. Oh, shit! What? Oh, Christ, what is this?
Stop the car! There's an army checkpoint on the bridge up ahead. See? They've got a roadblock set up. I can see the soldiers coming out. We gotta turn around, man. They get a hold of us and they twig what I've seen, there's no telling what might happen. We could be detained, disappeared, anything. There's some seriously powerful people behind this shit, and they ain't taking any risks when it comes to keeping the public blindfolded to what's going on.
Now, hold on, feller. Maybe we can bluff our way through this. I mean, this road doesn't pass that close to San Lazarus. We can say that you're my cousin Bob. You came up from Las Cruces with me.
I'm not chancing it. Back up. We'll have to find another way out.
Back up, goddammit!
Shit! There's no way they'll let us through!
Listen, pal, you keep going on like that and they'll definitely suss you out. I've talked my way through some pretty dicey situations in my time. You ought to try sweet-talking Mexican soldiers to let you do a roadblock when there's a head-sized bag of dope hidden under your seat. Now that's a real challenge. Anyway, these guys are grunts, not detectives. Keep your cap pulled down and your mouth shut, don't let them see that black eye, and I'll do the talking, okay?
Leave this.
Here we go now. Everything's gonna be just fine. Well, good morning there, Private. We're heading up to Santa Fe. Is there a...